all of our shuhada, of all our ulama who are no longer with us, for the marhumeen of the organizers, for the marhumeen of all of you here present, for the marhumeen who would have loved to have been in this majlis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had a greater plan for them. Kindly offer us Surah al-Mubarakat al-Fatiha. And before we begin, just like yesterday, if I could ask everyone that is here already to come in front of the camera, it just makes it a lot easier for people to come in and just reduces the disturbance for those around. So if you can, if I could kindly ask if you're able to come in front of the camera. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المذلومين واللعنة الله على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين وصلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا حجة الله يا ابن الحسن يا صاحب الأسر والزمان اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. My dearest elders, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last night we emphasized on the point that we wish to build a close and intimate relationship with our awaited Savior, so that we can therefore be a part of his inspiring revolution. And we said that one way to build this intimate relationship with someone would be thinking about them, remembering them, just like how you are in the early days of your engagement and your marriage, you're constantly thinking about them. And definitely, when they're calling or when you see them, you would offer a salam to them. In the same way that we would love to build a relationship with our awaited Savior, we learn from the Quran that those who die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not consider them as dead, nay, they are living. Thus, it is a blessing for us to have the opportunity to also extend our salam and to build a relationship with Imam al-Hussein, Sayyid al-Shuhada, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And we see that in our ziyarat for the A'imma alayhim as-salam, and especially Imam al-Hussein, many different ways in which we can say salam to him. And in one of the most popular is probably not the right word, one of the most recommended ziyarah that we're recommended to recite in honor of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the highly lauded and highly praised ziyarat of Ashura. And the first line of that ziyarah is an iconic line. It's a line that every single Shia, you could argue, would have at least said once in their lifetime, if not tens of times, if not hundreds, if not thousands, dare I say hundreds of thousands of times in their lifetime. A 3-second line, sometimes mumbled to half a second, and sometimes extended by the Qaris to 10 to 15 seconds. But it boils down to these simple words that some of us were asked to have written on our kafan. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. On an explicit level, it took us 3 seconds to say it. But its reality and its depth and its impact on our lives can be discussed for centuries. And I genuinely mean centuries. Why? Because we'll understand from today, using the tafsir of Ziyarat Ashura by Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan, that this is a lifelong pledge. And it's a covenant that we make from the cradle until the grave, which may be we're not offering and not honoring. It may come out of our lips daily, but we may not be honoring the words of Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Now you may say to me, Sadiq, Assalamu alayka Aba Abdullah is a very simple meaning. Peace be upon you, O Aba Abdullah. Like, what more do I need to do in order to honor this line? It's pretty straightforward. It's like if I say salam to someone, and that is what we want to try and explore today. Because once we realize the depth behind what this line means, not only can it change the way we see the ziyarat of Ashura and the other ziyarat that we have, but it can completely change our relationship with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, such that it becomes entirely and only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most commonly we see that this line is taken from the first line of Ziyarat Ashura. And in this beautiful ziyarah, we cover concepts from tawalla, love for the sake of Allah, tabarra, detest and hate for the sake of Allah, the culture of self-sacrifice for loftier goals for yourself and society, the notion that we must never, ever, ever bow to tyranny, no matter how tough it may look. We learn tawheed, we learn nubuwa, we learn ma'ad. And we also notice that without imama, these principal beliefs of tawheed, nubuwa, and ma'ad have no meaning or power to them. If you can kindly offer salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'll just repeat that. That from ziyarat Ashura, we learn about tawheed, we learn about nubuwa, we learn about ma'ad. And we notice that without imama, these principal beliefs have no meaning or power to them. In history, those who didn't have imama could not bring around the sort of change that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam did in society. And let's look at a proof. Look at Mubahila. And imagine if every Muslim were to reflect on the event of Mubahila. I'm going to repeat my statement just to make sure it's so clear in your heads. Tawheed, Nubuwa and Ma'ad relies on imama to make it happen. How? In Mubahila, you have the delegation of the Christians that come forward. And they say that if Muhammad brings his companions to the Mubahila field, then go ahead and challenge them. Go ahead and challenge them. No issues. However, if Muhammad brings his Ahlul Bayt, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, then we must not go against them, as we'll definitely perish. Without Ali Muhammad, you cannot succeed. With Ali Muhammad, you can win anything in this life and the next. But let's return back to the ziyarah. What is the reality? What is the power? What is the significance behind this first line? And to be a little bit provocative, perhaps we could reflect on this by saying, when I've recited this line in my life so many times, have I actually been breaking a promise to my imam in front of him directly in the presence of Allah? Because if so, that's a very grave issue that I have then committed. Have I been breaking a promise, a covenant with the imam whenever I offer this line of Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah? And if you would like to go on this journey together, kindly offer salawat in honor of Imam al-Husayn. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
So let's take it piece by piece. As-salam, and I'm going to emphasize as-salam, not salam. And we'll discuss why, but I really want to emphasize that as-salam is the way we pronounce this. The literal meaning, as you may have guessed, is something to do with peace. But a slightly deeper meaning, it's to be free from calamities, whether they're apparent calamities or hidden calamities. And we're seeking this peace, we're seeking this freedom from calamities for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But we already understand that the Imam alayhi salam already enjoys a state of salam. He is now in the next world, no doubt being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what sort of peace are we asking from Allah for him? We'll come on to this. In this context, when we say As-salamu alayk, for those who have studied the Arabic language, they will tell you that you can see this as a declarative statement. What's the difference between a declarative statement and a normal statement? I could say, I love Karachi. I could declare that I love Karachi. There's a big difference between saying something and declaring something. Even in cricket, you declare. It's like a way of showing off that, you know, we've done our bit, we've got our 500 runs, we're ready to sacrifice our wickets and now bowl you out. With that confidence. When you declare something, it carries weight. And when you say Assalamu alaik, you are declaring this peace upon Aba Abdullah. We're seeking higher levels of salam for the Imam, where there are absolutely no kinds of imperfection whatsoever at all. And where do we find that? It comes from As-Salam Al-Mutlaq, from the absolute peace that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And Allah says in the Quran in 59:23, Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-malik al-quddus as-salam al-mu'min al-muhaymin. He is Allah other than whom there is no God, the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, the peace, free from every kind of imperfection, the secure, the guardian, and it goes on. We're asking for a peace, not that you and I can just give, not that any man can just give. We're asking for a specific type of peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, from As-Salam Al-Mutlaq, from the absolute infinite level of peace. And inshallah, once again, if I can ask you to fill up as many of the white gaps on the floor as you can. Some of the younger brothers try and jump on the stage. The others, we try and move forward. And we'll remember our awaited savior in doing so. Rahim Allahu man qa'im min Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. In honor of Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam, aflaha man salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And in honor of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى We're asking for a level of peace, a type of peace that can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An absolute peace. That is what we're looking for Imam al-Hussein. And Lady Fatima alayhi salam is reported to say, Inna Allaha huwa salam, wa minhu salam, wa ilayhi salam. That surely only Allah is the absolute peace. And from Him alone comes peace, and unto Him alone returns peace. When you say this line, think about specifically what you're asking from Allah for your Imam. Oh Allah, that perfect level of peace that you have, grant it to Hussein alayhi salam. We declare this. We continue. I emphasized at the beginning that the line is not to be pronounced Salamu alayka. I said it's to be pronounced As-salamu alayka. Ahsantum. As-salam. This alif lam changes the game. It's one of the first things that you'll learn in Arabic grammar. The definite article. And due to this al at the beginning, it changes the meaning. We now have different connotations. If I were to say to you, bring me a cup. Someone may go to one shop, another may go to another. There could be multiple cups that we're referring to. But if I say to you, bring me the cup, you'd probably ask me which one, because you know that we're speaking about a specific one. If I say, pass me the mug to my brother here, he'll pick up this one. It's a known entity between the two of us. When I say, As-Salam, I'm saying to Imam Hussein, you know that specific type of peace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for He is the principal cause. That specific peace, oh my Imam, that's the special peace I want for you. Not just any old peace. Not just any old statement. I want that perfect, specific, unlimited type of peace for you, my Imam, because you only deserve the best. That's what I want for you. The Al could also refer to me as the Zair, as the visitor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, visiting the Mazur, visiting the visited one. And this again can make it declarative. And when I offer this salam, I am assuring, I am assuring that the one whom I am visiting, that I am at complete peace with him. So fine, physically I'll be at peace with the imam. وَلَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ I won't say assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah and then attack his grave. Astaghfirullah. Of course not. But we know in Islam there's more to life than just the physical realm. There's the spiritual realm as well. So yes, assalamu alaykum. I declare to you, O imam, that I come to you, I visit you in physical peace. You have no harm from me physically. But if I turn up with a WhatsApp message in my pocket backbiting about the brother from the Ziyara group that I was just with, then spiritually I'm not coming at peace to my imam. Not at all. I wouldn't dare approach the imam with a sword. So why should I dare approach the imam with a spiritual sword? So I asked that question that I said at the beginning. Do I actually stand by this covenant, by this commitment to my imam that I've declared every single day in the presence of Allah to say, imam, physically I'm coming to you with peace, and spiritually, can I really say I'm coming to you with absolute peace? Or am I coming dirtied? Am I coming with that load on the back of my head that I know I should have got rid of? It's a covenant, remember, between myself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'll only do things that manifest the absolute spirit of peace. That is what I mean when I say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. So what if I go and sin immediately after in the lobby of the Ziyara hotel? Or what if as soon as I leave this majlis and after Sibtain recites the ziyara at the end and I say Assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah and upstairs I'm bickering once again, or I'm back to that business transaction I shouldn't be? You know the examples I'm going to go through. Have I turned into a hypocrite in the face of my imam in the space of minutes? And if so, it's better that we admit it to ourselves, and that at that moment we turn towards our Creator and we repent and recognize what we've done and try and re-establish this covenant. But there's another translation of salam as well that can come into it. And that could be to surrender. That, oh imam, whatever you say, I obey. You could translate assalamu alaik to, I surrender myself to you, oh imam. Whatever your command is, I bow my head and I follow. The preposition of ala, assalamu alayka, that ayn and that lam at the beginning of ala, of alaik, means that I want this to envelop the imam. That perfect peace that I'm thinking about, oh Allah, completely drown the imam in this beautiful peace of yours. I want it to be perfect for him. May Allah envelop you with the state of peace, oh Aba Abdullah. And then there's a subtlety in the last part of this assalamu alaik that I really feel can touch our souls. And if we wish to engage with it, kindly offer a salawat ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Let's say I wanted to speak to my dear brother here. And I were to say, and you're all watching, I look him in the eye, you're going to get uncomfortable now. I look him in the eye and I say, peace be upon him. You'd be like, dude, say peace be upon
you.
You're looking him in the eye. You know who you're talking to, right? You're in a direct conversation. In Arabic, that would be assalamu alay. But we say assalamu alayk. Exactly, with a kaf. Meaning, you singular. Meaning, peace be upon you. Meaning, I'm in a direct conversation with my imam. For those of you who have been to visit Sayyid al-Sistani, may Allah lengthen his life, or any of our Grand Maraja for that matter. I remember the first time we went, the Ziyara group gave us the schedule. And you could see like day 4 that you needed to, on day 4 that you, sorry, we needed to get some keys for a car, is that right? Yes, BEF 457. Inshallah. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Salla ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma
So it'd be weird if I look my brother in the eye and say, peace be upon him. I should say, peace be upon you, because I'm in a direct conversation. It's two-way now. It's not one-way. He's not distance. I'm in direct communication. And when you go and meet Sayyid Sistani, I remember in that Ziyara group, everyone's like, oh my God, tomorrow we're going to meet Sayyid Sistani. So all that kind of stuff starts like, do you think he can see into your soul? Apparently he knows if you're like this animal or that animal. And I'm sure these guys have phenomenal basira. They have insight that we don't have. But you start to panic a little bit. And then you queue up in that alleyway that you guys know. You get searched and searched. And you go with a level of nervousness. Thinking like, what am I going to say to him? Do I say, Salaamu Alaikum? Do I say Sayyid? Do I say Ayatollah? Do I say this, that? What if he looks at me? Do I touch his hand? You start... all these questions start to come into your head because you're about to meet someone of such esteem, of such grandeur, of such greatness and knowledge and piety, a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you want to present yourself in an honorable fashion. And you wouldn't look at Sayyid Sistani and say, peace be upon him. You'd say, peace be upon you, because you're in conversation. With our Imam, before we recite this line of Ziyarat Ashura, or whenever we offer this salam to Imam al-Hussein, think, am I dressed appropriately for this? Am I ready to offer a salam directly to my Imam? Am I ready for this conversation? Because it is the adab of a Muslim to either reply with an equal or greater than reply. And yes, that may be in the physical realm, but we'd imagine the Imam alayhi salam also continues this practice into the next. Am I ready to look my Imam in the spiritual eye, let alone say anything? And at that point where I'm ready to actually say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, perhaps I should be preparing myself for a reply. But the question is, how many of us have heard a reply from our Imam? Either we've offered this salam and the Imam has been so rude not to reply, and I don't believe that would be the case, or he has offered a salam in reply or something in reply, but the Wi-Fi connection between him and me isn't reaching. So the question is, what's got in the way? Is it his signal or is it my receiver? His signal strong. He can reach wherever he wants to. My receiver is like one of those that can't go beyond one floor and you have to get the extender in the extender. So what am I doing wrong to not hear the reply of my Imam? What could be stopping me? And to understand this, we look towards a beautiful story relating to an esteemed scholar of ours, His Eminence Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayat, who some of you may have come across. There's loads of beautiful stories about him. He was a tailor, like a clothes stitcher. He was very strict when it came to Sharia and was always in harmony with the teachings of Ali Muhammad. Phenomenal, phenomenal man. And he was endowed with what they call a penetrating vision, with the ability to see through different ghaibs, see through different hidden mysteries. And once he had a session in the house of one of his friends. And before he began at his talk, he felt a little bit hungry and weak. And therefore, and look at what he asks for. He asks for some bread. Half a loaf is brought to him. He ate, and then he started his meeting. The following night, he reflected. And as per his custom, he sent salam to the A'imma alayhim as-salam. But for a man like him who usually hears and feels that reply, he felt on this occasion that there was no reply from the A'imma alayhim as-salam. He didn't get that jawab. He didn't get that answer. So of course, a man who is so self-aware, he starts to reflect. And he was told intuitively from within, oh Shaykh, you had half of that food, and that hunger that you had before your talk was alleviated. Why then did you eat the other half? Having some food that is enough for the body's need is all good, no problem. But extra to that would cause veils and darknesses between you and your Imam. Just a touch of excessiveness is enough to cancel the receiver that was receiving that pure light and reply from the Imam alayhi salam. You and I, I'm sure, yearn to hear this reply, be it from our living Imam, from one of the past Imams, for sure, from the Holy Prophet, from Lady Zahra, from any of our 14 infallibles. We yearn for it. Shaykh is telling us a touch of excessiveness can cause you to no longer hear it. And there I am, asking for this dish and that dish and bread and butter pudding and na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Oh, but I don't feel spiritual. Take a guess, Sadiq. Tuck your belly in and that may be one of the reasons why. Maybe you don't need to order another mocktail. Maybe you don't need to order another pasta. Just be content with that little that you have, because that excessiveness could be the barrier between you hearing the reply of your Imam. And finally, on this point of Assalamu Alaik, we use something called Jumal Ismiya, a nominal sentence. There is no end to this salam. It signifies continuity. It signifies that it's perpetual. I.e., we could translate it as being, may Allah always envelop you with peace. Or, you will always be enveloped with peace from my side. It is a lifelong covenant when we say to our Imam, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. But my question to you is, what is the second half of Assalamu alayk? It would be, you could argue, fair if we were to say Assalamu alayka ya Imam. That's a very noble way of addressing the Imam. Imam. Or we see in some narrations, Sayyidi, or Yabna Rasulullah, or Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen, or Yabna Fatima to Zahra. But for some reason, in this noble line, we say, Assalamu alayka, Ya Aba Abdullah. So what is the significance behind addressing him as Aba Abdullah? Now you'll know in the Arab world, if someone is a father, you would say, O father of, and then their son. Ya Aba Jawad, Ya Aba Muhammad, Ya Aba Al-Hasan. But you can also use Aba, not just necessarily for who their son is, but that would be valid for Imam Hussein. He had a son called Abdullah, known as Abdullah al-Radi, the one who was sick, who we usually call Ali al-Asghar. But there's another reason why you would call someone Aba followed by something, and that is when you are praising one of their titles. So if someone is very generous, you could call them Ya Aba Jawad. Oh, the father, if you like, of the generous one. So he's known as Aba Abdullah, the father of the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can crack what this means, we're able to understand what the greatest title, arguably, for Imam Hussein alayhi salam could be. And that could calibrate our lives and how we see him. Aba Abdullah. Aba Abdullah. Why is it Abd and not Abid? Some say Abid could mean servant. And a servant or a housemaid, they remain as their identity. They would say, I'm Sadiq and I work in this house. Whereas a slave has a slight difference. An Abd has a slight difference. When you ask a slave, who are you? Their identity is no longer themselves. Their identity is by their owner. So instead of saying, oh yes, I'm a servant of Allah, Sadiq, they would instead say, no. Allah is my Lord. My identity means nothing. That is the difference between an abid and an abd. And now we're saying Aba Abdullah, not just necessarily the father of the abds of Allah, but Aba can also be used as a teacher. Oh, Imam Hussein, you were the teacher of the sincerest slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what you are known for. This divine leadership that he has, he's responsible to guide humanity, right? To teach them towards the path of salvation. He is the father, he is the tutor, he is the teacher of every true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every human being enjoys from Al-Hussein alayhi salam's ubudiyah, his absolute submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that includes the prophets, which is why we call him Assalamu alayka ya warifa Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim. So now if we put this new dimension of this understanding all together in one package, we could perhaps say, I declare that you are in the state of salam, O utterly submissive servant of Allah. And the reason for you to be in that state is your characteristic of being utterly submissive to Allah. The reason why we ask Allah to be salam upon him, to give his best of his salam, to envelop this salam, and that this salam should be forevermore from me to him, and we declare it, is because he is Aba Abdullah. That is why we seek this perfect level for him. Because he is Aba Abdullah. It changes the way that we see this ziyarah. Because it starts to make us think, am I ready to speak to the teacher of the best slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should I be surprised that I'm not hearing the reply from someone so pure? Even more simply, how regularly am I breaking this covenant that I give to him day in, day out? Do I even recognize that the Imam's mission was entirely godly, or do I see it as something else? And in turn, am I certain that every action that I do, even this lecture that I give, is it even godly, or is it for my own ego? And do I use Ziyarat Ashura simply to fulfill my wants and use it like magic dust when I need something? Or do I use it as a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should be my only desire anyway? If you now stop before you start this Ziyarah, and you take a moment to think, it can calibrate the entire Ziyarah and give you a brand new meaning about it. Not just to the Ziyarah, but to your entire life. The formula is so simple, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Labaik ya Hussein may be the slogan that we recite year in, year out, and especially in Arba'een. But we also say to Imam Hussein, Labaik da'i Allah. I'm here for you, Hussein. I'm responding to your call, Hussein. Also, I'm here for you and I respond to your call. Oh, call out unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no point me saying Labbaik Ya Hussein if I don't want to actually follow the message that he's telling me. And his message is Da'i Allah, that he's a caller unto Allah. Sadiq, good, you're here, thank God. Can you now pray your salah on time? No, I'm not up for that one. So why did you say Labbaik Ya Hussein? What was the point? It's like when your boss calls you and you turn up straight away. You wouldn't just say, that's it, job done. No, the job starts once you arrive at the office and the boss says, I need you to do this report for tomorrow. You're a pretty useless guy if after he tells you to do the report, you're like, nah, actually don't fancy following your command. You'd probably get fired. At least I'd probably fire that guy quite quickly if he did it on a few occasions. Labbaik ya Hussein, Labbaik ya Hussein. Okay, Sadiq, come and listen to the call of Allah. Don't fancy it today, actually. No, not my thing. Not up for it. You want me to follow that? No. No chance. Thank you, Imam Hussein. I'll just see you in Arba'een next year. At what point does Imam Hussein alayhi salam look at us and he's like, are you a follower or are you, like, what's the dynamic we've got here? How peaceful and reassuring, how reliable is my salam to the Imam? He's Aba Abdullah, he's utterly godly. And if I'm everything but godly, then what makes me think that he's going to want to have this relationship with me? We said yesterday that we need to turn up with a pure heart. And if I keep turning up with a poisoned heart, at some point, maybe I lose the opportunity. So let me go away, as we said on the first two nights, and identify what traits of mine are not godly. And I know, you may be getting sick of me saying this. But it's simply because the Imam's revolution, in his own words, was to enjoin good and forbid evil. So we come here and we say, look, to myself, if anyone else, I need to enjoin good and forbid evil. That is the revolution that he wanted for the Ummah of his grandfather. So we're portraying the same message. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. A promise. A covenant that if then written on my kafan, perhaps he will tick it to say, yes, this man truly, truly was a godly individual. This woman truly was a godly individual. And for that reason, I will intercede for them when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees it's their time to have their judgment. No, Allah, this was one of my true followers. We pray for that day. We yearn for that day. But we're not going to get there if we don't move, if we don't change, if we don't protect this soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We panic. And I recognize it's difficult. And I recognize that I come here with a background of years of sins, ongoing sins. But the blessing and the barakah of this majlis is that you've been called again. We said on the first night, genuinely, what have I done to be called? You've done something perhaps, or maybe Allah is just giving you this blessing out of His love to invite you back to hear this call towards goodness. One of the most beautiful things that you can do to try and help yourself calibrate your lives is after each salah or before each salah, offer a salam to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. For if it were not for him, we would not have the salah that we have today. And you can say to him, "Oh Imam, I'm about to conduct this prayer. I know you put everything on the life to save it. And I know that I'm a sinful individual. But see that I still come trying to reform myself in your majlis. See that I come to this prayer mat trying to reform myself by remembering the reformation that you brought about to the Ummah. And at least if I die and it was incorrect, at least I die trying rather than neglectful." Because there is something scary that one of my teachers told me once about the concept of kufr. Kufr, being a kafir. I'm sure all of us in this room would say, "I'm not a kafir, no way. No way, how can I be a disbeliever? No chance. I attend the majlis of Imam Hussein. I try and pray, inshallah I do pray. I fast, how can I be a kafir?" When our teacher told us this line, I think all of us were like, wow, we are all kufar. He said the concept of being a kafir is like if you have an individual and he sees the light, he acknowledges the light, he recognizes that light, but he makes an active decision to shut the door. At that point, we become a kafir. On that specific topic, we have become a kafir, a disbeliever. I've actively disbelieved. Allah tells me, pray. I see the light of prayer. I see the understanding of prayer. And then I'm like, you know what? Don't fancy it today. That is a scary thought. And this is the invitation from Allah through Imam al-Hussein to all of us to come back, to return, to reform, to board the ship of salvation and to make it. And there is one man who did this in a phenomenal way. And he is a man that every single Shia who attends the Majlis of Hussein, when we feel we've had a bad spiritual year, we're like, you know what? He managed to do that U-turn at the last second. He managed to do what I like to call what starts as being the walk of shame, and then Allah elevates him to the walk of fame. And that is none other than His Eminence, Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. And in honor of his soul, kindly offer a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Before we get to the Masaib itself, I just again want to give you some of the historical context about what Hur had done. And oh Hur, don't see this as a personal attack. This is your inspiration to us that no matter what we've done in our life, we can still turn it around. So just a bit of historical context for you. Whilst the Imam alayhi salam was on his way from Mecca towards Karbala, Hur was dispatched with a battalion with a group of soldiers of around 1,000. 1,000 soldiers. And his instruction was very clear: to maintain a position alongside the Imam. Do not let him turn back. Make sure to bring him to Kufa and restrict his freedom of movement. That was his instruction that he was given. Get in the way, get him to Kufa, done. At one point, Hur's army or group, if you like, managed to eventually catch up with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they're side by side. And they go along for a certain amount of time and they stop and go and stop and go. And at one point, Salatul Dhuhr time sets in. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second. Because I know that for those who attend the Majlis of Hussein alayhi salam, no matter what we've been up to outside of these walls, we hear the call of Hussein and we arrive. There's still something within us that no matter what we're up to, that only Allah conceals, and Allah conceal all our sins, Ya Sattarul Ayub, that we still turn up. We hear that message from Hussein, we hear that call to Allah, and we're like, you know what, I am going to try and come, even if it's just for one night. Look at that similar pattern with Hur throughout what we're about to say. Salatul Dhuhr sets in. The adhan is recited, and the Imam alayhi salam, and as we see this throughout his journey, even on the day of Ashura, he calls out and gives a sermon and a speech, largely always kind of saying, these rulers that you have, the Umayyads, they're corrupt, they're this, they're that. Try, see the light of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We will look after you, we'll take you to Allah, etc, etc. So this is the general call that the Imam would give, forbidding evil, enjoining good. And Hur would hear it, and hear it, and hear it. But on this occasion, again, the enemies of Allah, no change. The lure of the money, the lure of the fame, the lure of the governorship of this city, that city, this district, it was too much for them. So they don't listen. The Quran says, we give you ears, but they don't listen. We give you eyes, but they don't see. Imam alayhi salam looks to Hur and he asks him, do you wish to pray alone with your companions? Look at the mercy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Try to look after this guy's salah, even though he knows he's going to cause him trouble. Imagine the humility of the Imam. We say, the Imam needs to be adil. Someone like me jumps to the front, no issues. Imam Hussein's like, you can pray without me if you want. Don't worry, I don't have any issues with it. Hur replies. You can see that he's got something in him. No. Rather you lead the prayer and we will pray with you. He's got something in him. You've got something in you. It's just about igniting it. Imam alayhi salam leads the prayer. After the prayer, they kept Imam constrained in this same area. Asr time then sets in, and again the adhan is recited. The Imam once again gives the people an opportunity to join him, reminding them of the rights that they have, reminding them of the rights of Ahlul Bayt, warning them of the corrupt rulers, and also reminding them of the letters of allegiance that the Imam had received. And he continued to imply that if they'd gone against their message, if they'd gone against those letters, fine, no problem, he would just leave from that place and return. Just leave me to it. If you've written these letters and you no longer say that you want me to come, no problem, just let me return in peace. Hur replies and says, look, by Allah, we don't know of these letters that you speak of. Imam alayhi salam calls for Uqba ibn Samam to bring these letters that filled what they call two saddlebags. You can imagine there must have been a lot of letters that the imams got from those in Kufa, who we know at the time of Muslim, when he finishes his salah, he turns around, there's barely anyone left. Hur says, we're not from those who wrote these letters to you. Our instructions were not to leave you once we located you until we take you to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And Imam replies, death is closer to you than that.